Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello, and welcome to episode 49. Almost happily 50. Ever. I know. Yeah. Happily ever couples therapy.
And not couples therapy like
the VH1. The couples therapy?
No. Oh. I bet that show's a trip.
It is. Yeah. I loved it. Not that one. What were you going to say?
I was like, not necessarily what we do.
Oh, yes. We're not talking about what we do. No. Not that either. Couples Therapy, it's a show on originally on Showtime, but you can also catch it on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And it is, it follows a therapist, and she has, I think, five or six couples, I don't know, that she's working with. And so you see her in, I think it's like six episodes, you see her go through like a journey with these couples mm-hmm. of the things that they want to bring to the table, you know, difficult topics, you know, and the cool part, the other part that I liked, and maybe this is just because I am a therapist myself, is that you see the therapist process with her supervisor, mm-hmm. the things she feels, you know, when she's in session. And so it gives a very interesting perspective, and I think actually pretty accurate on what, you know, what a whole couples therapy process
for
is like.
Sure. No, I think it does a really good job at depicting it. Mm-hmm. She has a great office.
She does have a great office. And a therapy dog.
A therapy dog. I forgot about that little guy.
The mini husky.
Oh, yeah. If my dogs were better, they'd be my therapy dogs.
Same.
Yeah, they do. I think they do a good job at depicting what it's like, kind of the process of sometimes mm-hmm. how slow it can be. Yes. Like it's, you know, they sit down, they get to know her. I love how engaged she seems with the yes. couples, like the way she, her body language, yep. the way she leans forward, the way she's looking at both of them. And she's yeah. kind of, you can see she's actively part of trying to figure out what's yep. going on just like they are, which yep. I thought is really cool.
Yep.
And she, and the other part that I noticed about it that I really liked was sometimes how in couples therapy, you think you go for a reason mm-hmm. and then you start to get a little bit deeper into maybe your past or mm-hmm. what some of the, like, the person's insecurities are, maybe traumas are or whatever, and then she's able to kind of put those together and pull out maybe, oh wait, this is probably something that is a bigger deal than yeah. that thing you thought beforehand.
Absolutely.
And also how long it takes too, yep. right? Because yep. Do you remember how long some of these people were with her?
No, I don't remember the actual length of time, but it was a couple months.
It was quite
yeah.
a bit, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it was a couple months. And I think, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but there are some things, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, success in couples therapy is, you know, staying together, or mm-hmm. success is, you know, completing it and, like, coming to this beautiful resolution. And I love that this show showed different ways that therapy can end and yeah, and sometimes it's not so
right.
clean and, like, you know,
almost
put a
never,
bow on it
right?
almost never yeah. yeah, and that's okay mm-hmm. you know. So today we wanted to do something a little bit different. We asked to get a couple of questions from our listeners, so thank you to everyone who submitted questions to us about, again, couples therapy, like the process in general. Again, mm-hmm. not diving into like what
personal
we do
issues,
or how we
yeah.
think or personal issues or topics about that, but just about this topic of couples therapy. And so the first question we got, Kelly.
Is
I can't read it upside down.
Yeah, that's okay. When do you decide to go to couples therapy is mm-hmm. the first question. And mm-hmm. I think it's a really great question because I'm sure people throughout their relationships have had times where they question, are we communicating appropriately? Oh my gosh, that really hurt. Is there something about my past that is getting in the way of me getting, you know, expressing this message to my mm-hmm. partner, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thought comes in quite a bit. And
yeah.
so the question, when do you decide to go to couples therapy? What's your answer?
I was like, I think it's pretty much like any time you need intentional space to talk about
right?
anything.
Like, I would say anytime.
Anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes it gets, and there's actually a study that says sometimes, or that couples don't usually start seeking couples therapy until like 7 years after having like the same issue. I can see that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's great that at least they're coming in after 7 years, but also like the patterns and things that can get ingrained is a little bit more difficult to undo after 7 years. But really, I mean, yeah, really whenever, and anything that you feel like you and your partner just need intentional space to talk about. It could be about, you know, parenting. It could be about, you know, what we want our life to look like. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like maybe the communication, you know, and that you guys have tried to do it and maybe it's been difficult.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Yeah. Like, if you find that you're having the same type of argument, you're finding the same roadblocks, you're not feeling heard, that could be a great way to have somebody, like a third party, kind of look at this communication or conversation and maybe help pull out, like, hey, this is what I see is going on here. Let me give you some tools to more effectively express that message that you're trying to send. So one of the, I think it's Gottman was talking, one of the things that he talks about, he's one of the couples therapy gurus, if you will, that couples will have the same argument over and over and over and over again throughout your marriage. Like, it may never go away. And that's probably due to the personalities of the people. And so if you're going to have the same argument, learn how to manage that argument effectively so you're not freaking cutting people down or hurting people or saying things you don't mean. Therapy can be a great way to try to gain those tools to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, getting insight on you. There are sometimes things that we think about things so automatically that it's not until, you know, there is a third person who isn't part of the cycle that's able to say, oh my God, like when you said that, or I noticed that you hesitated your voice, or I noticed like these things that our body does that then, you know, kind of slow us down to be able to say like, oh gosh, like, why does that make me like nervous or uncomfortable or whatever when that question got brought up? And then you're able to like slow yourself down. So you get insight on yourself too.
I so love that you just said that, because I, you know, I think we're all trying to operate in this world the best we can. We're trying to do the best we can. And that when somebody, like you just said, like if the therapist maybe says something and the person has a certain kind of response, the therapist just got firsthand experience of, oh, I get what it's like in your home. Yeah. And so to be able to address that in a way that's not threatening or rude or anything like that, they can kind of adjust their behavior, which could hopefully open up the dialogue between the two people.
Yeah.
Or three.
Yeah.
I've had a throuple before.
There you go. There you go. And so, you know, again, to answer, you know, when do you go? It's really, I'm like, whenever people want. And there's something that whenever they want to work on, you know. But we also understand that it can be scary, you know, the feelings and attitudes associated with couples therapy can sometimes not be the best, you know. It's, you know, it's only for, you know, in quotations, it's only reserved for people who have serious problems, or you know, it must mean that something's wrong with your relationship if you're going to it. And so this kind of leads us into you know, the second question, which is, you know, how do you get buy-in, you know, if you're down to go to therapy and you're open to it, and your partner's not, you know, what do you do, Kelly?
Yes, I know. Well, I think you said it really well, and therapy is not necessarily meant for all crisis situations. Therapy can be a great opportunity to educate yourself and to learn about the process, learn about yourself, learn about communication. And the thing about a lot of, like, I think a lot of people, at least in my experience, they'll read a lot of books and try to figure that out themselves, which is awesome, because there's some great information in there. But to put those in practice, or to have somebody to have a dialogue with about those things that knows about the topic, it can be just informative if you want it to be, right? And so it doesn't be. I think what you were saying, it doesn't have to be when you're on the brink of divorce or brink of breakup, or it's really really like crisis peak conflict. Like, it can be whenever you're ready. But how do you get the buy-in too, I think, is another important thing. People might be afraid of therapy for a couple reasons. They're kind of pouring out their soul to a stranger. Yep, get it. That's totally scary. Have to get in touch with their feelings. Another thing that's totally scary. Maybe not maybe a fear of what could this mean, like outside of the room. I hear that a lot, that when what we talk about in here is, am I going to go home and have another 18-hour conversation about this? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think it's just kind of asking, like just kind of discussing it with your partner. What are your fears? And you know, the thing about therapists is you can always call, at least in our practice, you can always call the therapist and ask them these questions. And you can email, or you could say like, hey, these are, I'm concerned. I want to know what the process looks like. How do we get started? How is it, are you going to make me stay with my partner when I don't know if I really want to? We're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do.
Exactly.
Do you have more to add with that?
Yeah. I mean, you said it well, where you said, you know, to talk about those fears, you know, obviously if it's something that's preventing someone, is to be able to talk about like, what is your fear from doing this? And from there, you are able to then get to the core issue. And whether that is reaching out ahead of time, or even, again, that intake session, that first session, you can ask the therapist point blank, you know. And something that I always say is, I will never tell you whether you should stay together or not. That's a decision that you both make for yourselves. And I just walk alongside you on this journey, like to figure that out. And so, you know, that's sometimes a fear of like, oh gosh, they're going to say like, I'm wrong or she's right.
That's
another one. And so there are a bunch of these fears, and until I think those are actually labeled, you know, what those fears are, that it could be difficult for buy-in. And again, sometimes it's not even like how the process is going to go. Sometimes it's, you know, I was forced to do therapy as a kid and I don't have a good experience with it, or I don't know how talking to a stranger, you know, can help. So that's, I mean, and those are fine. And if you're able to like work with your partner, you know, with it, great. But also, you know, kind of like forcing a kid to go to therapy, you know, same thing with partners, you know, if they're just not ready, or like, even if you guys had the intake and got all these fears answered, if they're just still not in the mood for it or want to do it, I think timing is really important too. And it just may not be that time. I still always say, although it can be a little bit more difficult, it's okay for you to still go by yourself, you know, if you still want to kind of gain insight on all of this and see how you individually can maybe, you know, start making change in your relationship. Like, that's always okay. Again, we're missing half of the story, which I, you know, always more information is better in my book, but that change can still be done with one person. So I think there's that. If you really want to go and there isn't buy-in of your partner, even after, you know, kind of talking about fears and all of that, like, feel free to go. You can still make impact, you know, that way.
And I think, too, sometimes when somebody is, like, let's say that happens and somebody just does individual therapy, their process with that could be really informative to their partner, and they might have buy-in through watching that experience with you, you know? I wanted to say something about one of the fears that you kind of brought up, that I think another fear that I hear a lot is sometimes, like, I want a female therapist to understand the female perspective, or I'm afraid to have a female therapist because she's just going to take either the woman's side or something like that. And I know for you and I, like, that's with something we take seriously. We're really not looking to take anybody's side. And it's more about really trying to see the big picture and understand what's going on. And the show does a good job at that. There was an episode where the therapist sought out consultation from either a supervisor or a colleague, or I don't know exactly who that woman is. But she was like, I'm worried that some of my own, what we call in the field, counter transference, like my own issues are starting to come into the session, and I want to be really careful not to let that happen. And that's fairly common. As therapists, we really try to be careful about not doing things like that, so we can really give the couple the full objective experience and, you know, get their needs met.
And you're right, and there is protection around that, you know, like in the show, like you said, she talks to her supervisor about it. Again, in real life, like, therapists talk to their supervisors about it. You know, you can talk to colleagues about it, and it's something that, like you said, as a therapist, you work on. I mean, we're humans too. You know, we're not,
But we take it seriously. And I think that's just to kind of help with if there is some fears, we do take that so seriously. We do recognize those things. If a couple, I know if a couple says to me, hey, I feel like this is one-sided or I feel like whatever, I will absolutely take that information and assess, like, where am I coming from with this thing that I said or this homework that I gave? Is it truly objective?
Yeah.
So I think if you can trust that your therapist is truly there for you as a couple, then these fears should there should be a space to address the fears, but also trust that the therapist is also doing their work as well.
Yes, absolutely. You know, another fear that comes up is also just the fear of talking about things that don't feel good. You know, the fear of like what that's gonna be, and so much influences that. You know, I think a big one is usually, you know, what was conflict resolution like in your family growing up, or how you continue to believe it is, if, you know, it's unfathomable that you can go into a space and talk about hard things and that it doesn't get escalated and it doesn't this, it's going to be really hard to think that therapy can be helpful, because you think that, oh gosh, we're going to go like into chaos, this space, it's going to come out and we're just going to go at each other like we normally do, you know, at home or anything. And again, I mean, I do think that, I mean, most therapist offices are pretty serene and, cooling colors and, like, low lights. So, like, the environment kind of sets up for this kind of calm. But, again, you know, also the role of the therapist sometimes is to, you know, sometimes we'll let you go down that pattern so that you can, like, so that the therapist can see, you know, kind of what's going on. But also if it's harmful, to not let it go down like that, you know, that far. But again, you know, it's realizing that this is going to be conflict resolution in a way that, you know, maybe a person has never experienced before. And so that can be scary too.
I always think of it as, it's kind of like if you're going to tell yourself that you're going to run a marathon and you've never put a pair of running shoes on before, that the first half a mile is going to be very, very painful. Yeah. And maybe the next mile, maybe the next mile.
Yeah.
The whole thing of the marathon is probably going to be pretty painful. That's kind of like therapy. Yeah. It can, and it's not painful bad. It's painful in that it's growth and it's a challenge and you're trying a new exercise and you're trying a new way of doing things. You're kind of undoing the patterns that have always been there from, like you said, like childhood modeling or how you did conflict resolution. And so just like at the end of the marathon, when you feel really, really good, hopefully, that you did your training properly, that it's that's kind of like therapy. Like, oh, now I understand these things. It was painful and it hurt to kind of go there. It was a little bit scary at times, but I did it anyways with the trust of the people around me. Mm-hmm. And I was able to achieve this better way of communicating or understanding myself.
I love that analogy.
I use it a lot.
That's so fun. I was like, I don't think I've ever heard it before.
I use it with my people.
I love it. and then the last question we have here of, should new couples go to therapy? And again, that goes back into, I think, the thinking that it's only for people who have been dating for a long time and have had issues for a really, really, really long time. Mm-hmm. If you are a new couple and just see that there's this barrier that you're not able to make, why not? You know, if there's, if like you said, you know, therapy can sometimes just be informative. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be like, hey, you know, because this is your background with communication and this is my background with communication, we're going to have difficulty communicating. So let's learn how to accurately communicate. Again, we are not taught these things in school.
Right.
We're not taught these things sometimes through our families. And so how do we learn? And therapy is a space where you can learn how to do things, you know, in a healthy way, communicate in a healthy way, go through conflict in a healthy way, do conflict resolution in a healthy way. How do we talk about feelings, you know, in a way that is helpful and useful? So absolutely. If you've only been dating for a while, again, you might have to probably go through the fears of that, what the other person might have or what you might have. And again, therapy is private, like, and you are in control of that. You can share it with people if you want to share it, but if you don't want to share it with people, you don't have to share that you're going to therapy.
I think that's one of the coolest parts about our job is that we really, that's another piece I think that we take really seriously, is making sure that we provide a space that does feel safe and it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's with us and that's it. And yeah. You don't have to worry about judgment from maybe other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you feel like you want to, whatever, post it on social media and you don't have nice friends or something.
Yeah.
But other than that, like we're not here to, this is your experience.
Yes.
And it's your opportunity to really feel safe. And I think, you know, being therapists, it's really important that we also have our own experience with therapy. Mm-hmm. So we understand how hard it is to come in, how hard it is to share feelings, and how hard it can be to be vulnerable in front of this person that's like looking at you, mm-hmm. you know. And so we try to be really sensitive and understanding to that, like, hey, man, we get it. Like, this is super weird and awkward, but let me tell you, let's just get over that piece, and then we can talk about some really cool stuff.
Yep.
And if you have, and that's the other thing, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I won't.
We love it, though. We love it. Yeah. We love it.
I get excited about
this. I know.
This, about
there's so much.
Topics.
And I know, and I love how in the beginning we were like, we're not going to talk about how, like, we do it, but this is how we do it.
Yeah.
But it can be, I mean, it can be different, and I think, you know, and I think the bullshit that we did want to bring up for this episode
yeah.
is just that going to therapy is easy for everyone. I mean, you hear it all the time of, you know, just go to therapy.
Like, right,
like
right.
go to therapy. I love my therapist. Go to therapy.
Right.
It's so great. It's life-changing, you know, and we have to remember that it's not easy for mm-hmm. everyone depending on just their life experiences. And so understanding that it isn't easy and that, that it's okay.
Yeah, we get it. We get mm-hmm. we get that it can be, that it's a big decision to make, it's a serious decision to make, and it can be difficult. And so some of the takeaways we wanted to leave you guys with, which is crazy because we were planning on doing this podcast, and there's an Instagram from New York Magazine, or Instagram, a post from New York Magazine about an article that they wrote about how to find your first therapist.
Yeah.
And as from the little bits of it that I read, it talks about interviewing the therapist, which is something that's very common in the field. You can email, you can call them, you should be able to talk directly to the therapist and get a feel for their personality.
Mm-hmm.
There's websites. One of the ones we use a lot is Psychology Today.
Mm-hmm.
It's nationwide, I
uh-huh.
believe.
Yep.
You type in your zip code, you type in your city,
mm-hmm.
And a whole list of therapists will come up. They'll have a bio.
Mm-hmm.
You can see what they look like, what
yeah.
some of their specialties are, how much their sessions cost,
mm-hmm.
if they take insurance, all the whole thing. And what else? How else do you find? I'm trying to think. Do you find therapists? Maybe just talking to friends. Friends
yeah,
might have good
you
referrals.
Can do friends.
Sometimes
you can
doctor's
do
offices have
doctor's
good referrals.
Doctor's offices, your insurance.
Your insurance, yeah.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, school. I mean, if you're looking for low cost, I think that's another piece too. Sometimes people
oh,
think
wait,
it costs
university,
a lot.
You
so
mean?
Universities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes they'll see clients, any training clinics. So, you know, there's different ways also for cost wise, but yeah, I would think those are the ones that, like, Psychology Today is the biggest one.
I think it's the biggest. I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great website.
Yeah.
Gives you a feel for who's out there, what their specialties are. And you know, if you do all these things that we're telling you to do, you sit down with, a person, you know, they might have a great bio. They might, seem like they're really cool on the phone, you sit down with them and you have, you know, a weird feeling about it, you know, check in with yourself, ask yourself, is this,
mm-hmm.
am I not connecting with this person?
Mm-hmm.
Is their philosophy a little bit different from mine, or it makes me feel uncomfortable? That's okay. Like,
yes.
Please feel okay to keep looking for somebody that's going to allow you the space to open up and
yes.
feel good about
yes.
what you're about to do.
Yeah. You have to feel comfortable in the space where you're going to be vulnerable. And, you know, therapists don't take it personally.
Oh,
you know,
no.
they
we
know.
Get it.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're not going to make them feel bad if you decide to come in once and never come in again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's totally fine. And I think in the end, what, hopefully, you know, every therapist wants, at least I can speak for myself and probably Kelly, you know, it's just, it, even if it's not with us, we just want to make sure that everyone's able to get the help,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're able, they want. So
there's a reason we do this job. It's because we believe in it and
yes.
we love it. And
yes.
it really does make a difference. It really does. So hopefully
Absolutely.
You can find somebody that you connect with, that you can kind of work through some things
yeah.
and feel good about life.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So that's the end of our episode. A little bit of a different format. But hopefully you guys liked it. And if you have any other questions, feel free to let us know on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We will see you next week.
See you next
Bye.
Week. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer: the information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.